John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening. Hello and welcome to Wake and Jake, myself and BBD today, talking baseball, diving in because I'm a little flummoxed. Wow, vocabulary. There are a lot of good baseball teams this year. Whoa, heavy hitting from the start, Jake. I don't know what's going to happen, and it could be my Yankees. It could be the Astros. There are a couple old guard baseball teams that are going down this year. And it's entering the second weekend of May. I get it. There's a ton of season left. Some of these will change and not matter anymore. The standings are kind of alarming. With the 7 playoff spots, there are real powerhouses of teams that are not going to make the playoffs. And, you know, you could say that every year, and hey, maybe I will look back at this, and maybe we check in first week of September and see what's going on. Speaking of checking in, another good Bailey up. Thank you, guys. Foolish Baseball, Bailey. And I mentioned it at the end, probably should have mentioned it at the start, over 10K subs on the YouTube. So, pretty cool. We've been,
been
grinding away at this a little bit. And thank you, guys, because the Bakers are strong and growing. In the AL, your Tampa Bay Rays have gotten out to such a good stop that they can't possibly miss the playoffs. I think we could check that box, right?
It would be unprecedented.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
The Rays are in the playoffs. We're happy for them. A team has to win the AL Central. Twins, Guardians. Guardians have looked bad. They just beat the Twins. Twins have looked good. Nobody can hit in the Central still, which is wild, going back to the 2020 Cy Youngs that were won. Cleveland hit last year, and Minnesota kind of did. Something's up there. I don't know. And we'll get to the National League. But a team will win the AL Central. I'm confident of that. The AL West. Hello. Hello, love. Maybe the old guard doesn't die. Maybe Houston. They are missing some serious guys. Like, they're 3.5 back. To actually raise a panic over Houston is laughable. They've been to the last 6 division series.
Championship series.
They have injuries. Yeah, championship series. They have injuries, significant ones they can point at. The run differential's fine. You can't really be worried about Houston, although Luis Garcia, UCL, like they are dipping into parts of their depth that if you're an outsider baseball fan, you might be surprised about. And the non-surprising part of it is that they're good. Hunter Brown has been incredible. J.P. France, 28 years old, pitched really well for them. Mm. Sure.
Sure. They're schedule watch. We've been doing some of this with our Yanks and how they haven't really played a pushover team. Only, like, full pushover team they've had was Detroit's second series of the year. So, you know, they might have some teams they'll fully take advantage of on the way. And again, we're not in a panic mode for them.
They've pitched really well. They're 4th in starting pitching ERA. They're 6th in bullpen ERA. So you got a top 5 pitching staff going. I think you can lazily call it that. They haven't hit. They're 26th in OPS. 24th in homers. Jose Abreu has been bad. Bregman has not been good. They're missing Altuve. But I think if you're Houston, you know, Brantley hasn't played for them yet. you've got guys coming back. You've got guys that should play better. Like, I don't think 29-year-old Alex Bregman is on a true decline. I wouldn't bet against that guy. Either way, the Seattle Mariners are 500, 17-17. Supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball. I said there's a chance they are the second-best team in the American League to Houston coming into the year. The Angels are off to a good start. If you want to buy snake oil, I don't know. I got bit by them pretty hard after a good month last year. The franchise has a recipe of non-success. I do think parts of that recipe have been addressed. Like the Angels pitching, we've covered it a little bit here, talking baseball, wherever. Shohei is Shohei. Okay, convincing. Patrick Sandoval is a guy. You know, did the WBC win you over? Did last year's stats win you over? Did his hair when he came into the office win you over?
Handsome.
Did for me. Detmers is a young pitcher there. You know, they've got options to click. They've currently been 18th in starting pitching ERA, 9th in bullpen. So, you know, they're surviving out there while being a top 10 offense, which is more than we've said about Angels teams in the past. Is it sustainable? Nobody knows. So I'll stop running through that question with you. I guess for me, the Rays are going to make the playoffs and most likely win the East. A team will win the Central. And then there are four options that if someone told you they could win the West, I think you'd buy it. Maybe not the Angels.
Coming into the year, I don't think we would have said Rangers winning the West. But now, certainly, they're an option.
Some people love run differential. For me, it's whatever. Like, Jimmy's also on this page that games that you win by, like, more than 10 runs at a certain point throw out the differential. Because, yeah, at a certain point, blowouts are blowouts and you're facing, like, bad pitchers or even position players, whatever.
I generally think over a full season it bears out.
A good run differential is good. I won't counter that. The Rays and their magnificent start, 28-7. Their run differential, 115. Crazy. Crazy. Number two in the American League, the Texas Rangers at plus 85. That's a big number. That would be the biggest in the National League. And maybe, more importantly, third place in the AL. Again, the numbers here were 115 for Tampa, 85 for Texas. Third place in the AL for run differential. The Orioles at plus 29. 115, 85, 29 in the American League. So if you do believe in run differential, which, by the way, the two best teams in the National League, the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers, really good run differentials. The Cubs sneaky with a really good run differential. Have to look into that more. Don't know what that means. So I guess what I'm saying is, in the AL, the Texas Rangers, they have currently entered the party. Their lineup slaps. All of us got sucked into their rotation. We kind of forgot about the two signings they made the year before. And by the way, Seager ain't been playing. Jonah Heim's been a star. So if you believe in that, they have been third in OPS, second in runs scored while pitching enough. Texas has fully joined the party, and we didn't know before the year if they would. That's kind of what BBD was alluding to before. I think the Orioles have fully joined the party. They have a better record than the Texas Rangers. I was skeptical of them. They are my, if you got one end of April flip-flop, I told you guys here and there and everywhere. The Orioles are eye-opening to me. I believe in mashing the baseball. I believe in you're going to get enough pitching, and they're going to get really good pitching out of their bullpen. top to bottom of the lineup. They should have won their series against the Braves. They did not. That's fine. The Braves are really good. And Orioles fans are commenting under our Talking Baseball right now where I defended them, and I was like, hey, like Trev was trying to say that the Orioles playing toe-to-toe with the Braves would be a, like, that's a win. You know, we're the Orioles. We're not fully proud yet, but we will be. Orioles fans in the comment, Orioles are 89-66 since calling up Adley. That BBD did his head tilt. You probably should too. Adley Rutschman is an impact player. And by the way, we've missed the whole boat on catchers. We are so dumb. Buster Posey, being an MVP-level player, was massive for the Giants team that won 108 games. What are the Cardinals doing right now? Currently blaming their catcher for being the worst team in the National League. By the way, a guy that's been an all-star catcher. The catching position has been a straight miss by analytics because I don't think they know how to quantify it. Because you can't. Because what position has the most managers? Catchers. Because they deal with pitching. They deal with hitting. They deal with it all. Having a good catcher is very important. St. Louis is regretting not going and trading for Sean Murphy right now. Because guess what? He's a great two-way catcher. And if that's ever a question mark, there's just too many doubts. Coming out the other side of the Gary Sanchez situation, although you really wish you could put a little asterisk on 2017, like all the questions and the pass balls and everything, I don't know. I don't know. And yet what the Yankees are doing now with pure defensive catchers, although Trevino and Higgy contribute here and there.
They both get their hot stretches and big months.
Having an impact catcher is important. Or the rest of your team has to be really good. Or, I was just going to mention JT Realmuto and his re-breakout last year. Phillies go to the World Series. Bless you. It's okay. Right. It's that time of year. It really is.
I took my allergy pills today.
Yesterday was a sneezy one for me. We're not properly measuring a good catcher because whatever Adley Rutschman brings on a daily basis, I think is massively important. I think JT Realmuto, I think Sean Murphy, I think those rare two-way catchers, or if you are the Houston Astros, you have Maldonado, who is like a manager in the game while also being a defensive stalwart, and you have an incredible team surrounding him.
Make it. Literally everything else work.
That I think we have missed kind of evaluating the catcher position and what it means. So I'll add that to my analytics binder for another day. But the Orioles are really good. This isn't a fluke. Whatever level it is, I don't know. Are they a 90-win team? Are they a 95-win team? Reminder, last year they were above 500, and they have a ton of young players that are getting better. Their trajectory said they were going to be a 90-win team this year. I fought it, and everyone else fought it, because the Orioles haven't been those guys. One of my buddies got me good. He texted during the Celtics game last night, because Tatum opened up 0 for 8, I think. and he sent the text, and then there's a YouTube video of someone saying, "You're not that guy, pal." That was more of a shot at Tatum. It was definitely some New York, Boston-rooted stuff. The Orioles might be that guy, pal, and we'll find out. The Toronto Blue Jays, hello, 21-14. They've been supposed to be that guy. In a way, they've been a guy. 21-14 is a great start. Blue Jays fans would have signed up for that at the start of the year. They're technically in third place, a game and a half back. they've got off to a fantastic start. That's where you want to be. Half game back of them is the Boston Red Sox now, who I don't want to overreact to their 8-game win streak because that's all the data we have right now. But the fact that they got an 8-game win streak, what would Yankee fans do for that? That would put the skis back on track. The Red Sox are currently at the party. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means for the AL East. I know I've said any Orioles-Red Sox game will be my favorite game to watch this year because both lineups bang and sometimes they pitch. Our New York Yankees. Let's try to be as honest as we can be with this because sometimes it's tricky on Talking Yanks, right? Because there's half of the audience that wants you to be old WFAN and slaughter the team. There's half of the audience that is kind of where me and Joe's lean. Like, it's baseball, we're the Yankees. Let's fucking figure this out, right? They're 18 and 17. They're a win away yesterday from us being not bullish on the season, but excitable. We're about to play Oakland for 3 at home. That it really...
We're about to feel a lot more comfortable.
It could have been back-to-back series wins with Judge being back, playing Oakland, and starting a homestand. Like, that could have felt a lot better at 19 and 16, which would have been the same record as the Minnesota Twins leading the AL Central. It's not. It's 18 and 17. They're getting Aaron Judge back. They got Harrison Bader back, who's been really good. And the bigger point for me is... I think Harrison Bader is streaky. I think the numbers come out to a little above league average if he's healthy, offensively alone. Defensively, he's awesome. But a reminder, the Yankees were getting nothing from the bottom of their lineup. Nothing.
He's literally just a major leaguer.
With Bader being a major leaguer, who knows if he has like a good season, which Harrison Bader has had in the past. Aaron Judge being back, that's significant. And then you can actually have a fun situation where you need one piece to go. When I say go, I'm not talking about leave the team, although we talk about that on Talking Yanks. But you need a young guy that gets hot, or an old guy. I don't care. We haven't been the biggest IKF stands. I've seen him have an okay 2 weeks. Because he puts the ball in play. Sometimes they go through, sometimes they don't. I don't know. Oswaldo Cabrera, I've seen him have a hot 3 weeks. I've seen Aaron Hicks get hot.
Aaron Hicks had like two different, six good weeks last
year.
I'm
not investing in that. But with Bader in the lineup and Judge back up top, and maybe Volpe can have some pressure taken off of him, he can go. The Yankees 500 record, or slightly above, Severino should be back in a week and a half. The Yankees can feel different. Right now they don't, and that's fine, and they don't really deserve it. But this is the New York Yankees are currently bringing up the rear in the AL East. Most likely two teams in the AL East won't make the playoffs, right?
It's hard. It's hard to have less than that.
So I don't know, man. If you're being honest about the dogs in the race, the Yankees have the pedigree. They have played a hard schedule, and they have some help on the way. It still feels like they need the trade to happen, and I don't know if it's out there either way.
They, like, fully, like, have to make an impact trade. Like, we know that. There's like, a lot of years where that helps a lot. But like, do they technically have to? No. This year they are going to have to.
If we're being very honest, and I hope they're in a position to do that, the Yankees now for a couple years, 1 year they were short 3 lefty bats in their lineup. It was just insane. You're the New York Yankees. You're built on the short porch. Babe Ruth. Lefty.
Roger Maris. Lefty. Hey, they got the Judge thing. Good for them.
Like, I understand don't pick left-handedness over everything. But
maybe.
But then they also do their lineup thing. Remember when Hicks used to shove a lefty in the middle there?
Remember when he used to be our three-hole hitter?
Yeah.
Forever?
They have no idea if they do or don't believe in it. Got to get off it.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Got to get off that.
They got Anthony Rizzo. Yes. Like. Subscribe. This team has been missing a switch hitting or a lefty hitting 5 or 6 hole hitter for 3 years, 4 years, since Didi Gart. I don't know. Yankee fans, you can figure that out. And I think it was an Ian Happ or a Brian Reynolds, and I think the Yankees misread the market, and their team is not super threatening right now. And I wonder what it means. Like, you know, we're obviously in this season, and it's not time to start doing it, but you hear Jason Dominguez rumors, and like, I don't know what it means for the future of the Yankees. Did they not get one of those guys because they think he's going to be a star of all stars? I don't know. They clearly did think that about Volpe. He's been okay for a rookie up until this point. There's an argument he's been good for a rookie. I won't even do that right now. The point is...
debatably ahead of schedule.
I just spent a chunk on the AL East that probably could get 3. I think definitely gets 2. Central, we'll see. I think the good... I don't want to say the good news. I could be completely wrong. I think the Twins and Guardians are going to have a mid-fest this year. And I mean...
it'll be one of those two, and that's the Central.
Shocking, right? You can bet against me, but like, I wouldn't be scared. Like, what do you think? The White Sox are going to join the party? You think the Tigers are going to join the party?
They both fully join the party so they can get a wild card spot.
You think the Guardians or Twins are going to like pedal to the floor? I mean, I put some cheese on the Guardians to start this year. I think their over-under was 86.5. I was a little scared when I saw them. I was like, they're not good. They're not hitting at all. I think some of that will come around. But division winner this year might be 88 from the Twins and the Guards. So if you start doing turkey math there, AL East teams are going to win a lot of games. And this is before we get to the West. So let's just say we're getting one out of the Central for now. Which, by the way, if the Central starts sucking again, sucking, can't say that. Careful. Then is one of their teams going to be in the mix? Back to the West. You can't rule out Houston, although it hasn't been pretty. They've got the injury bug. Seattle is supposed to be one of the best young and upcoming teams in baseball. Texas is currently looking like a massive wrench. You can currently dissect it that they've been the second best team in baseball. Run differentials, yada, yada. The offense looks real. They have a full pitching staff. You have to assume 2 teams out of the West, right? That's our current formula. 2 teams from the East, 2 from the West, 1 from the Central. That's 5. Did I do that math right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because 2 wild cards face each other. Then one more. So there's one more.
So there's only one more team, or is there 2? It's not
3 wild cards.
3 wild cards. So 3 division winners, 3 wild cards. So there's only one more team.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say... there's 4 AL West teams that think they're making the playoffs and 5 AL East. That's 9 teams. So let's say the Central stays mid, because if both of them do get hot and start racking up wins, my goodness.
That's 9 teams for 5 other spots?
2 division winners, 3 wild cards. Mm-hmm. 9 teams for 5 spots. You're going to have 4 disappointed teams between the Orioles, Jays, Red Sox, and Yankees. And we can say the West is wide open. The Rays are making the playoffs. All of those, they can't blow.
All of those West teams.
Are Rangers, Angels, Seattle, and Houston. So I guess with my eight fingers up, I'm not going to bet against Houston. So let's say they either
win
or get the wild card in the West. It's almost impossible to not say that. I guess if you have to start doing like, if we're pretty girls going through our options of who we want to date, resume-wise, you can't go with L.A. They've just burnt you too many times. They'd be out.
I would have them as the next team I eliminate, yes. No offense.
This one will come off as offense. If you're doing this as a pure dating game, next would be Boston. They didn't have expectations coming into the year.
They were the last place pick in the AL East in what was always going to be the best division in baseball.
They were last place last year. I think now everything coming to the table to not say the Yankees wouldn't be at least neck and neck with the Red Sox for if you're drafting these teams and where you want to land. At least the Red Sox have like a winning pedigree as a franchise, which starts to bring in Toronto into play. And this is before we've gotten to the Seattle Mariners, who again, I think have the talent potential.
They've now gotten there before. Like,
in my head, they had a chance to win the American League this year, and I think they still do. They're 500 right now. Things haven't gone.
Certainly not too late.
They had true World Series aspirations. And then the Texas Rangers, who, if you were dating on paper, they're the win. Like, you'd go Houston over pass resume. You'd go Texas over how they're playing this year. You go Tampa, how they've played this year. And then you've got two other spots that are Baltimore, who's looked incredible. Toronto, who's, again, you are the guy and you're supposed to be the guy. Yankees and Red Sox, what? I don't know. One of the teams I just mentioned, something's going to go horrifically. It could be my Yanks. It's been the Halos. I don't know. But, man, you start doing that math, and never mind if the Guardians and Twins both get steam. And now you got to trim another team. Messy early in the AL. Make sure you're watching Blitzball. We'll add. The Blitzball games have been getting a ton of love. I think they're up 20% if you care about that. That was the number we got last night. And they're just super well made and a lot of fun. It's hard to have a bad time watching our Blitzball games. That should be the ad. In the National League. Hey, man, I'm going to start here again because, again, in the court of law, this would be tough to argue. The Central is so We got excited about the Pirates, right? They're on a 7-game loser. 20-15. They are now... The two Central divisions have the worst record of their division leaders right now. And that probably wouldn't have surprised you coming into the season. No one bought that the Pirates would ride it out the whole way. The Brewers are still off to a fine start to the season. They're 19-15, although they're 4-6 in their last 10. Like, Brewers could still go, have a 91-win season, and you'd be like, that's a nice season, Milwaukee. Right now, the team that was supposed to win that division is the worst team in the National League, the Cardinals. You can't even put them... They cannot be a part of this conversation. And that's fine. Dodgers, they're on top of the West. They are the Dodgers. Nothing for you there. A team wins the Central. Let's pencil in the Brew Crew for now.
Sorry, the Pirates.
It's tough to not say...
You understand why I can't be you, Troll Boy?
You know why. The Braves, pencil them in for the East. There's your three. So we need three wildcard teams. Phillies and Mets, currently each under 500. Some injuries, some different things, some ups and downs.
Not insurmountably under.
Harper and JV just came back. Like, again, that's it's this part of the baseball season where we haven't fully gotten going. Like, you, in our heads, it has. We've watched over a month of baseball. You sit down at 7 p.m., the games have been on. But, yeah, negative run differential for the Phillies, minus 29. That's worse than the Nats, who are minus 27. The Mets are minus 10, so things haven't been going swimmingly for them. Like I mentioned, the Cubs, plus 46, going to have to look into that. 3-7 in their last 10. That's not great. Although they just won a series against the Fish. They play the Cardinals. My goodness. You don't know what to do with the Cubs. You put them in a literally the wild card bucket. It's kind of what we've been doing already. I guess for the National League, and this is where I'm not as thrown off, and I think it's why I started with the AL. Everything can still be somewhat right in the National League. Like the Mets, I said they're under 500. They're technically tied for second in the East. Like, there's really no harm, no foul. Phillies are the same. They can go on a week's notice, be 6-1. They're on pace. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, I'd say like we're still. The betting favorite results is that we have Braves, Brewers, Dodgers win their divisions, and Mets, Phillies, Padres sneak in as the wild cards, and that leaves the Cardinals as the one disappointment this year, which, okay.
Yeah.
There's room for the chalk to play out there. I guess
Trevor Plouffe cut the Marlins as deep as he could today, with just, what was it, remarkably average? Something like that.
I'm just glad he didn't call him mid.
Yeah. I think remarkably average is worse than mid. I do.
Yeah, it's extra.
It just cuts a little deeper. That no one's going back to my dating game, okay? No one's in on the Marlins. You can't be. You cannot be in on the Marlins.
But
with their dating history, they would need... I think we said this in their... Like, Jazz Chisholm would have to become an MVP candidate, which maybe he can, but... We haven't seen that.
It's inside him.
Sure. He's on the cover. They have a minus 56 run differential. That is the worst in the National League. So, their past dating resume and their current dating resume, the Marlins are out. Nats, love ya. Some cool young guys on the team. Let's not. Let's just
some
not
young guys play. Worth checking out this
maybe
year.
Maybe in the future. You know, maybe they're just starting off med school.
We'll see you guys in 2 years.
Racking up bills, but they'll start paying them soon. Okay, in the Central. Pirates, nobody's buying. I hope their magic continues.
I like the crew.
I mean, dude, they're a week away from, like, fully blowing their bats, their good start.
They're 20-15 right now.
They do a 1-6, bada bing, you're 500, and you're the Pirates, and it's the middle of May.
And that's still a good start for where we had you.
It's a great start. But dating game, Pirates are out for now. I hope they disrupt this season of baseball because every year somebody does. For right now, Pirates are a back burner. I'm almost not out on the Cardinals, which is just so dumb. But I would never say this. Trev phrased it right. Because there's two different ways. You can call for a guy's head, and I don't ever want to do that, and that's messed up. Bring back Yachty. I don't care what it looks like. Bring back Yachty.
Whatever role that is.
Just an instant vibe change. If I'm Yachty, I think I'd like to be manager. Another topic. Don't care. Brew Crew, you're looking fantastic. And for being 4 games above .500, I don't know how fantastic that should be looking. But it's a fine start. You were expected to be good. You look good. Cubs are the, like, Cubs and the D-backs are the wrench teams in the NL.
Mm-hmm.
D-backs are playing a lot of youngsters. I think right now they have 3 rookies in the rotation, which that's a dangerous game. you know, a couple of them are real prospects. Fott is the biggest one. He got called up.
Just hard for a full year of that.
It's just, you don't normally see that play out for a whole season. Their lineup's good, though. Like, here's what I'll say. The NL picture that seems to make a little more sense right now, like, the main players can still be the main players. Like BBD said, you know, if you had to chop it out, you'd say, okay, well, the Padres are a game and a half behind the Diamondbacks. It's May.
They're above 500. It's May.
The Padres pay a lot more in salary. They got Tatis back.
Seems to be starting to roll.
For how close they are in May, that's literally nothing. Every baseball fan, not every, 9 out of 10 baseball fans would say the Padres are going to usurp the D-backs this year. And it's tough to argue against. With the D-backs' history, their youth, everything that's going for the Padres, sure. That can kind of make sense. The Braves, yep. Will one of the Mets or Phillies go? Yeah. I mean, for sure. Right? Like, there's tons of talent both ways. There's been injuries. It's one of those things where the season is so young that 500 doesn't kill you. A game below, although the Mets have been playing awful, that you can almost for certain say the Mets or the Phillies will take a wild card spot. So you're going, okay, Braves, let's call it Mets for now. We'll say our Mets start going. They had a 100-win team last year. Dodgers, Padres. Someone wins the Central. Now you have one spot that would look like it's going to be Snakes, Cubs, or Phillies, or a Cardinals miracle. I think everyone still lean Phillies coming off of last year's World Series run. They just got Harper back.
It's not like they're crazy behind the pace of the others. They are, but they've early enough that that is not a problem. If they just play well, they're in control.
I guess, using run differential, which I told you I'm not the biggest fan of, the Cubs can be the wrench. The Cubs can be the Texas Rangers of the National League. But in a way, they also don't have to be. Because what if they went out and got the division? I'm not saying they will, but run differential likes them right now. They played with some gusto yesterday. I guess why I want to go through this mental exercise with you guys. There's some teams here that didn't get mentioned that could become a part of the party more, whether it's Giants, D-backs, Pirates. Can the Cardinals salvage anything? Can we get to a 500 Cardinals team by June 15th? I think Cardinals fans would tell you absolutely not right now. In the NL, I want the Cardinals to rejoin the party. I mean, BBD, how about this? The Yankees are 10 games back, right? And it feels that way, and it sucks, and all the other teams are good, right? The Cardinals are 9 games back. And the team on top is the Pirates. Which, if there was a 3-game set and your life depended on it this weekend, I don't know, you'd look at the matchups pretty close. You wouldn't say the Pirates are a lock. They just lost 7. I don't know. Maybe I'm buying Cardinals stock, but it feels so dumb.
Don't currently have them as being able to catch Milwaukee, but every other team in that division, I would bet on them having a better record than them from this point forward.
The Cardinals are 9 games back. The Yankees are 10. The Phillies are 8. Like, you don't have the Phillies and the Cardinals in the same breath, right? That, I don't know. I think divisions matter here. And the AL is going to be a disaster. A disaster. I do think it's going to lead to BBD, correct me if I'm wrong, but the wild card race last year, didn't it end up being fun?
Not really.
Like the team that missed the playoffs from the AL was the Orioles at 83-79.
I think with like a week to go, that felt right.
But like they also never came like in range.
Maybe like briefly.
Like we kept,
in August they like had wild card spot for a day, but
it was Jays, Mariners, Rays. Toronto was in easily, Seattle was in easily. The Rays kind of got in by default easily.
Yeah.
86 wins.
They had a very unfun season.
Like the other teams challenging them, and some of these teams I've just mentioned, like the White Sox were the second team out of the wild card, and they were like one of the biggest disappointments ever.
Yes.
The Twins below them, the Red Sox that we talked about, Angels, Texas Rangers, going down the list. None of them were in play at all. It led to a bad AL wildcard race, and it was our first year with this new format, and we were like, oh, this... The whole thing is we might have some bad teams get in to the wildcard. I don't think that's going to happen in the AL this year.
Yeah, AL straight up has a lot of good teams.
Your worst team could be a 90, could be a 88.
We'll see if somebody just falls flat from here. Very well can by the end of the year.
Even if
one of these teams,
you need like
bad,
two teams to fall flat, which they still could, and I still think you get a race. The National League, the NL East was a lock of all locks, and it ended up being the Mets. The Padres became secure enough to down the stretch, but it was a three horse race for two spots, and it was Padres, Phillies, Brewers. You know, they were hoping for Craig Timber to kick in. It never did for the Brewers. Yeah.
Phillies surged.
That the 87-win Phillies made it, and the 89-win Padres, which became the... Was that the NLCS?
That was the CS matchup.
So, you know, there's a couple things here. You want to make the dance, because your team looks a lot better when you make the dance, potentially. Like, say there's a world where the Yankees make the last wild card, and Cole, Seve, Rodon look good. Almost pretty sure that's not going to happen. Nestor. That can change things. You've made the playoffs, now let's go. The Phillies went to the World Series. There are going to be some really good teams, especially in the AL. I think the NL is going to sort itself out. Although there will be one crash mystery guess. That I don't know. Maybe the whole reason I'm doing this is because it looks like my Yankees have as bad of odds as anyone. You could have ruled them out with the Angels or the Red Sox or whoever. Whichever team isn't your flavor of ice cream, like the Yankees.
If you were to look at this objectively and tell me you have the Yankees as one of the first teams you knock out of this race, based on the evidence you've got in front of you, I don't blame you.
I mean, the best thing the Yankees have going is that they've made the playoffs the last 6 years. And you expect them to be the Yankees. Like, they, outside of 2020, they haven't been below 90 wins since 2017. And they've got a high payroll. And maybe this Yankee fear will change if a healthy Judge comes back with Bader. A young guy or a weird guy clicks between Cabrera, Calhoun, whoever it is. I don't care. Severino. Like, I know there's an injury history, but when he pitches, it's really good. But yeah, there's a... Sox have hope. Halos have hope. Mariners, it's like a World Series year. All-star game. The AL's a mess. I kept saying it is. I can't wait to see the next chapter. I'm excited to see the next chapters because I have no clue. I have no clue. And I think if you pretend you have a clue, I don't think you do. And I think the deadline's going to be not pretty. But I think it's going to lead to good baseball because the baseball mattered this weekend. Yankees-Rays mattered. Padres-Dodgers mattered. April ball, not always, if we're being honest. So, stay tuned. I think we're teed up for a really good baseball season because even, like, the Tigers are a, a good series away from being a part of the central discussion. So there's only so many dead teams. And those teams are just super dead, Oakland and Kansas City. That wild card's going to be a mess. Trade deadline's going to be a mess. I don't think I have the soul to talk hoops today. The playoffs have been good. They've been must-watch. Lakers-Warriors tonight. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Knicks tonight?
Knicks tonight.
Kind of must-win for Knicks and Golden State. Yeah, on the road?
Knicks, yeah. I guess for both of them, you go down 3-1.
Can I say something? I've got a hot take that the internet disagrees with. The Suns owner getting pushed by Joker. People keep saying it was like the flop of the year. Jokic is a monster. I know he threw his arms up a little bit.
I have no issue on the flop.
If you take a forearm from a 7 foot, 280 pound man, how many of you have had that happen? And you're like standing, you're doing that sports fan thing where you're standing and your seat is right behind your legs, like right behind your kneecaps. So if you get a little push, you're kind of going down. It's a massive man. I guess the arms do flail and they get a free throw out of that. But internet was running so hot with like Suns owner flops. I was like, what?
No, I have no, whether he is or isn't, I no problem.
Picture the biggest person you've ever met, and now picture them being bigger and stronger, and they push you.
More coordinated.
It's a bad time. It's just a bad time. So, hey, maybe Wednesday we dive in a little more. I think we're going to know a lot more by then with the playoffs, or not. I mean, Sixers-Celtics being best of three. Is exciting because, let's be honest, there's a little bit of Boston dislike in my heart that I'll never be able to get rid of. And I sneaky, when Harden's right, it's like the coolest thing I've seen on a court. I realize there's a lot of wrong that comes with it, but his shot making is the coolest. It's like, I think it's cooler than Curry's. Because Curry's is more of a, if I get my shot off, I'm going to make it, which you see.
Mm.
Like, Harden is just making it up. And I know sometimes it's horrible basketball, but sometimes it's like, how the fuck do you do that, dude?
The, like, degree of difficulty per shot. Like, Curry hits some that very, right, very deep and or that he is very guarded on. But in general, his shot looks like a shot.
Curry is the classic shooter that if you give them a sliver, he'll take it and he'll make it. Harden has some of that, but he also creates it. And he like wants the hand in your face. I don't know. Like, you'll just, half of his shots are like crossover, fadeaway, step back. Hand basically gets high-fived as he releases and it goes in. It just blows my mind. I've made, like, one of those shots in my life.
And you remember it.
And he makes them on play. I do. It was over Jim Widman. It was a nice shot. Let's wrap it up for now. It was a lot of baseball. It was a deep dive, kind of searching for something. I don't know what I found. Just AL teams are going to be broken. Wednesday, we're going to be back. We'll check in. Baseball, sports, and love. So
our favorites.
Thanks, guys.